62 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Matt Piper. Opening statements begin this morning in Hunter Biden's federal gun trial. 12 jurors and four alternates were sworn in Monday. CBS's Erica Brown from the courthouse in Delaware.
A panel of 12 jurors and four alternates have been seated in Hunter Biden's criminal trial in Delaware. In a show of support, First Lady Jill Biden appeared in federal court, sitting directly behind Hunter Biden with other members of the Biden family. Dozens of potential jurors were questioned for hours on their views about Hunter Biden's criminal trial, politics, and drug addiction.
Migrants seeking asylum in the U.S. may be hitting a roadblock today. President Biden is expected to announce that he's partially shutting down asylum processing along the U.S.-Mexico border. CBS's Nancy Cordes is at the White House.
Right now, of course, asylum seekers are allowed to stay in the U.S. until their case is processed, which can take years. This new executive order is almost certainly going to face legal challenges down the road. The White House appears to be going this route now because Republicans rejected a bipartisan Senate deal that would have done something similar.
We could see more fires in the West as extreme heat takes hold. In Arizona, it is more than 110 degrees. Odyssey New York meteorologist Craig Allen.
We're going to see triple-digit heat covering a large portion of the Southwest states. And while this extreme heat and dry conditions continue to develop and expand, more and more fires are likely to develop across the southwestern states as well, including the big ones that are already burning in portions of California, like the Corral Fire.
Reports out that this state is looking to legislate to limit how social media platforms reach young people using certain algorithms. CBS News tech contributor Ian Scher.
The state of New York is considering new rules that would restrict the types of content that companies can feed to minors. In particular, automated systems designed to send them stuff they might like.
There have been special flights going from the U.S. to France to remember World War II with those who fought in that war ahead of Thursday's 80-year observance of the D-Day invasion.
80 years. This will probably be my last one. I'm 101 years old. What do you expect?
That is Bob Gibson visiting Utah Beach. China says its spacecraft unfurled the country's red and gold flag on the far side of the moon before lifting off with rock and soil samples to bring back to Earth. Its probe was launched last month, and its lander touched down on the far side of the moon Sunday. Those samples will be transferred to a reentry capsule that is due to return to Earth later this month. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Opinions among Wisconsin leaders about Donald Trump's 34 felony convictions are split along party lines. Democratic Congresswoman Gwen Moore tells WISN-TV's Upfront the jury got it right.
You and I talked before the verdict was rendered, and I told you then that I was going to trust the justice system, trust the jury system. It's the only thing I know as an American.
Republican Brian Stiles says he's disappointed, but he thinks the convictions will be overturned on appeal. Meanwhile, Trump's son, Donald Jr., will campaign for Republican U.S. House candidate Tony Weed in the Green Bay area Tuesday night. That's according to a release from Weed's campaign. The former president is endorsing Weed in a three-way Republican primary against Roger Roth and Andre Jacques. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Homecoming for Rhys Hoskins. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers' Rhys Hoskins spent his first 7 years with the Phillies before signing with Milwaukee in free agency. It was Hoskins' first night back in Philadelphia. Fans gave him a standing ovation at the start of the game. Top of the seventh, he came to the plate on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Hoskins deep left, and a homecoming for the ages for Rhys Hoskins. It's 3-1. They were cheering him earlier, and now some boos, but but mostly standing and clapping for Hoskins.
Hoskins' home run turned out to be the only scoring for the Brewers as they lost 3-1 to the Phillies. Hoskins, on the welcome he received from the Phillies fans.
It's just what this fan base has done, just overwhelmed with emotion there.
NFL Vikings making Justin Jefferson not only the highest paid wide receiver, but the highest paid player other than a quarterback. 4 years, $110 million guaranteed. OTAs continue this week for the Packers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clouds and some patchy fog in the overnight with mid-60s and light winds. On Tuesday, we'll have a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Some of those will bring some heavy rainfall Tuesday and into Tuesday night. Our high temperatures warming to the lower 80s. Right now, it's 67.
Earl Ingram.
On the next show, you'll have another chance to enter our Text to Win giveaway, and we'll discuss some of the issues that are impacting you and I every day.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for The Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Call or text via the Civic Media app.
Oh.
You can text and call directly to us via the Civic Media app. And I tell you to do that.
Why?
Because right now,
right
Greg
now.
Bach, right now.
Right now.
We have our statewide text to win contest. It is a Scani summer here on Civic Media. These are great prizes.
Yes, they are.
One person every day is going to pick up a Wisconsin Dells Summer Prize Pack. One, that's one winner per hour. One winner per day gets a pair of Milwaukee Brewers Club level seats. And two grand prize winners get to pick where they want to go for a summer staycation. Fort Atkinson, Lake Geneva, or Door County. But what you have to do is you have to text this word via the Civic Media app.
Correct.
And this hour's word is?
What is it?
Sun.
What?
S-U-N.
Sun.
Like, sun. Like sunny summer.
Like the sun that warms our backs.
Exactly.
All right. Oh, here it comes. Here they go.
All right. Let's go. We're watching them come in.
Boom.
I love that. Also, I wanted to share Sue from the 414 texted in and said, I just made the Shaw my home station, and I saw there is a sleep feature on the app, so you can set it for a certain amount of time to fall asleep. All for free.
You know what? When I designed the Civic Media app, from the ground up, I did all the coding. I did all the those little things you need to do. I'm like, Greg, how do you make this app even better? I'm like, well, you've already given people the ability to do their favorite station. You can text and call through the app. Genius moves, but there wasn't enough. I'm like, Greg, what else do they need? They need a timer so it can turn off. That way you don't burn your battery.
Come on, you could fall asleep to it.
You know what? I'm just really proud of myself.
Oh, you should be.
Yeah.
There should be a special award.
Yes, there
or should. Or some kind of recognition for you.
How long do they have to...
You have until noon.
There we go.
So you have 52 minutes to text the word sun, S-U-N, text the word sun via the Civic Media app. And then you're in the running, one winner per hour for a Wisconsin Dells Summer Prize Pack, one winner per day, a pair of Milwaukee Brewers Club level seats, and two grand prize winners who get to pick their unique summer staycation, including gas, to get there and back. Fort Atkinson Cottage on the Lake with a pontoon boat, Lake Geneva stay at Harbor Shores, and a Door County stay at the Ridges Inn and Suites. So you have 51 minutes to text the word sun, S-U-N, via the Civic Media app, and then you're in the running. And we're going to do this for the next 2 weeks.
Nice.
I know. It's fantastic.
This is amazing.
All right. We haven't done this in a while. We're going to do a round of the good, the bad, and please, let's not do this. For the good. And this, so many things dropped on Friday, it seems. There was just so much news that dropped on Friday or on Saturday. We apologize, says the headline. Publisher vows to stop selling debunked election conspiracy film. The publishers of the right-wing activist Dinesh D'Souza's debunked election fraud book and film will stop distributing 2,000 mules and have issued a public apology to a man in Georgia it falsely accused of voting illegally. Now, if you don't travel in some circles, you might not even be aware of 2,000 mules.
I mean, it was on the billboards for a while. They were
Hitting that hard.
That was weird to just, you're like, 2,000 mules, what is that?
So the whole premise of that is that, of course, there was massive fraud in the 2020 election. And the mules, I assume, are referring to people who brought in all these illegal ballots from Saturn or wherever they think they were coming from. And yeah. So, and I met someone not that long ago who was adamant that this film proved that the 2020 election was stolen from now convicted felon Donald Trump. This is it. Have you seen 2,000 Mules? You have to watch 2,000 Mules. This proves everything. Yeah, no.
No.
No, it doesn't.
It didn't then. It doesn't now. And all I have to say is vindication.
Salem Media issuing that press release Friday, apologizing to Mark Andrews. He's the voter in Georgia who is suing Dinesh D'Souza, who, by the way, also is a felon.
I didn't know that.
It might have been commuted. I'll double check on that. Calvin, double check on that and see if Dinesh D'Souza is still a felon. Mark Andrews sued Dinesh D'Souza, the publisher and a conservative nonprofit group called True the Vote, which provided election fraud research, in quotes, with no evidence to back it up.
Did you ever watch any of it?
2,000 Mules?
Yeah.
No.
So I didn't watch it, like, click it to turn it on. Of course, I watched, like, various videos on YouTube, and they would, like, the video would watch the movie itself, and it was so easy to debunk.
Really?
Oh, my gosh, because they were like, look at this person standing too close to the ballot box. It looks like they're putting a bunch of them in, when really it looks like a person playing on their phone in front of a ballot box. Like, everything they're so serious, and they're so like we have to talk to the FBI about this. But back when they trusted the FBI, we have to talk to the FBI about this. It's like, no, you don't. It's hokum. It's malarkey.
Baloney.
It's baloney. You baloney shooter.
Statements issued on Friday from Salem Media says it was never our intent that the publication of the 2,000 Mules film and book would harm Mr. Andrews. We apologize for the hurt. The inclusion of Mr. Andrews' image in the movie, book, and promotional materials have caused Mr. Andrews and his family. I call, meh. It was never our intent that the publication of 2,000 Mules accusing this guy of voting illegally, that would never hurt him. Have you seen what happened to people?
Yeah.
The Ruby Freeman?
Yes.
In also in Georgia?
Yes.
They had to move.
Yep.
They had to change jobs. They were targeted. They were doxxed. Sure. It was never your intention that this would harm Mr. Andrews. Okay.
You saw him as committing election fraud. That's exactly what you were trying to do. Period. Done. And then you got caught, and he decided he wasn't going to take it anymore. By the way, thank you, Calvin, for getting us the information. Trump pardoned D'Souza in 2018.
Of course he did.
Of course he did.
Yeah. We relied, Salem Media, now blaming Dinesh D'Souza. We relied on representations made to us by Dinesh D'Souza and True the Vote that the people shown in the videos, including Mr. Andrews' illegally deposited ballots. We have learned that the Georgia Bureau of Investigation cleared Mr. Andrews of illegal voting in connection with the event shown in the movie 2,000 Mules. So the film has now been removed completely from Salem platforms. Neither the book nor the movie will be distributed again in the future. That's good.
That's great.
That's
good. A victory. That's not just the good. That's the great.
The documentary became one of the leading disseminators of baseless election fraud claims when it was screened in almost 300 theaters across the country. The film relied on a flawed analysis of cell phone data and surveillance footage. It was, of course, praised by former President Trump and now convicted felon Donald Trump. He said this film exposed great election fraud. Or is it like this? Great election fraud. Trying to get the hands right. Earlier this year, True the Vote admitted to a Georgia judge it did not have evidence.
Say again?
True the Vote admitted to a judge in Georgia it did not have evidence to support its claims.
Of course they didn't. No, they did not. And to all those out there who say this explains it, still waiting for your explanation now. Come on.
Was that witch hunt?
Yes, witch hunt.
Is that? We're going to call it something. All right, that was the good. On to the bad. Depends upon your point of view, I guess.
Yeah.
But this is not good news for the Trump campaign. According to Axios, one of the first polls conducted since the jury found Donald Trump guilty of falsifying business records, the poll finds a significant minority of Republicans and independents want him to drop out, and a majority of registered voters approve of the jury's decision. 54% of registered voters strongly or somewhat approve of the guilty verdict. 34% strongly or somewhat disapprove. But here's the number that I think is important. 49% of independents. 49% of independents. And 15% of Republicans say Trump should drop out of the campaign because of the conviction.
Once again, can't wait for him to actually say, of course, then yes. Yes. I shall. The people have spoken.
Right.
Jane, the people have spoken. Mm-hmm. I shall drop out of the race for the good of America.
Because again, that would be admitting he's losing.
Yeah.
And you can't ever do that.
No, there's no admitting to any sort of downfall. He is perfect.
Well, again, the problem I see with this is if you are not gaining new converts, where is this huge base of support going to be coming from?
Well, and that's the.
I mean, if you're not growing, if almost half of independents say you should drop out, that seems pretty substantial.
Absolutely. I don't see him between now and November picking up a great deal of new supporters. The people who are with him are with him.
And will always be with him.
And
yes.
there will be people who don't fervently support him, but feel I'm not going to vote for Joe Biden. But I don't see people sitting down at this point and having a real heart-to-heart with themselves saying, yes, he's the guy. He's the guy. I don't see that happening.
Calvin says, the cryptic name 2000 Mules reminds me of the 9/11 conspiracy movie Loose Change.
Oh, boy.
I missed that somehow.
That was like,
that must have been a doozy.
I think that was like the first conspiracy theory movie that came out on YouTube back when YouTube was somewhat like fun. It was this heavy duty conspiracy theory about like
inside job,
yeah. Melting steel. Where were you? That kind of stuff. Yeah.
You still have until noon to text the word via the Civic Media app Sun. Text the word Sun, S-U-N, right now. Via the Civic Media app, get in the drawing for our Scani Summer statewide text to win contest when we come back. The good, the bad, and please, let's not do this. You're listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the vast Civic Media radio network.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Earl Ingram.
Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
I've been marching since I was 17. I'm 74. And women need to get out. You need to vote because you don't want to go back to 1950 where you weren't allowed a credit card, where you weren't allowed to purchase a car or a home. These are things that are at stake.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time, and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back. Love me some chicks. Nice one, Calvin.
I saw them. They were so good.
Oh, I bet they were. I would love to have seen the formerly Dixie Chicks, yeah. Now just the Chicks.
They played at the Bradley Center, and like they were doing their thing. They're like just a huge show, and then they were like, all right, we're going to slow things down a bit. This huge vinyl tree dropped from the ceiling. They did I'm getting goosebumps, 30-minute bluegrass set.
Oh, wow.
With very little microphones.
So talented.
Oh, they're so good.
So talented. Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah. So anyway, all right, welcome back to the show. And thank you, everyone, for texting. We do have our Scotty Summer Text to Win statewide contest going on. You have until noon right now to text the word SUN, S-U-N, via the Civic Media app. And that's going to get you entered into our Scotty Summer contest. All kinds of great prizes you can win hourly and daily. And then there's going to be two grand prizes as well. Just looking at where some of these are coming in, people listening in Dane County, in La Crosse on WISS, in Madison on WMDX, in Bull Falls on WXCO, RJN in Racine is there. Thank you so very, very much. We're having an unofficial, I don't even know if Todd knows this, we're having an unofficial contest with Todd Alba to see if we can get better response than he does.
And I did see one come through. I will not mention the phone number because I'm not going to do that, but you texted in the word fun, F-U-N.
Which is a good word.
It's a great word. And it might be one of the words down the road. I don't know. But it is sun.
Yes.
S-U-N, like the sun in the sky, the big star.
The word sun.
That revolves around our flat earth.
Right. Okay. We were doing the good, the bad, and please, let's not do this. You found this morning.
Yeah, and I'm already regretting it.
Of course, now all kinds of politicians and former politicians are coming out of the woodwork offering to be the vice presidential candidate to run alongside the now convicted felon Donald Trump. And guess who showed up and is more than happy, Greg Bach, to throw his hat in the ring?
Mike Pence?
No.
Chris Christie?
No.
I know it's not Scott Walker, so we'll just move on from him.
Calvin, let's play that sound clip featuring former Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker.
I'm curious, if he were to ask you, would you serve?
I think I'd be thinking more about my country and not just about the ticket. So, yeah, if I thought I could add some value, I don't think he is. I think he's looking at these other candidates. But without a doubt, I'd be willing to serve my country in that capacity, because I think now more than ever, we need leaders who are going to step up and put America first. Oh.
Mr. Unintimidated, former Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker. Who famously hid from protesters during the Act 10 protests.
Presidential primary loser, Scott Walker.
One of the quickest ending presidential campaigns, I believe, in history. Whoosh.
I said this last week. I think this was the beginning of the ding in the armor of the Koch brothers. Because if you remember, like 10 years ago, 15 years ago, those two were invincible. They bought and sold candidates. They bought and sold elections. And Scott Walker was their boy.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember having a discussion with a former boss of mine. And he was like, I think he's going to take it all the way. I'm like, he won't make it through the primary. And I was right.
You were right.
Because Scott Walker, not a good politician. He's folksy, but he's not good at it.
Interesting.
He always tries to be like, I take a brown paper bag to lunch.
Every day.
For lunch every day to work, and I did blah 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 blah. I was like, yeah, but you're also kind of dumb with your I lost my hair because I hit my head on a shelf. Which what is are you talking about?
It's one of my favorite stories of all time.
But he is here to serve, Jane.
He is here to serve. He's willing to step up if he's called upon. Thank you for your sacrifice.
Here's
Scott
your crinkle.
Walker. Yeah. Here's your crinkle. Go away.
Go away. But he's not the only one.
No. There, of course, the auditions continue.
Oh, my gosh.
To be Trump's running mate. And by the way, that clip was from WISN up front, so thank them for that. Doug Burgum, the governor of NODAC.
Because the governor of SODAC is persona non grata.
Yeah, pretty much. Let's hear a little clip from Doug Berman, the VP auditions, Calvin.
57% of Americans think the jury reached the right verdict. 56% think Trump got a fair trial. A majority of Americans are unconvinced by this claim that it's all a sham. Why do you think it is?
Well, I think part of it, of course, polling is a point in time. And I had a chance to briefly look at some of your poll numbers this morning. And I also saw in there that almost two-thirds of the respondents said they weren't paying close attention. And I understand that they're not paying close attention to the trial because most Americans out there, you know, they've got working Americans don't have time to watch, you know, TV all day, read every report because they're facing all the things, you know, putting food on the table, gas in the car,
right. All
the challenges that they're facing. And I think that as this moment in time passes, when we have the election coming this fall, people are going to make a decision about are they better off today than they were 4 years ago? And this is an unusual thing.
I love when they ask this question.
4 years ago.
4 years ago.
Were things better 4 years ago?
June 3rd, 2020. Jane, you looked it up. What was happening?
June 3rd of 2020 in Washington, D.C., there were peaceful protesters.
Yes.
There were peaceful protesters protesting in Washington.
Yes.
And Donald Trump wanted to do a photo op in front of a church. And he had the military clear these people.
Yes.
Gas these protesters.
Yes.
I saw this happening live. I will never forget watching this. There was a journalist. He had press. A guy with a shield came and just gutted him in the stomach. They were peaceful protesters.
Yes.
And then Trump got up in front of that church and held the Bible.
Upside down.
He's a tradition. I don't know. I can't even find an excuse for that. That was 4 years ago today. And also, we've all forgotten about the food lines and the food pantries.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the pandemic, depending upon where you live in the country.
Yes. There was a lot. I mean, that was a major component in the first like month or two.
Especially in April. Yeah, it was March and April.
Yeah, trying to get
it was bad.
Yeah.
So, don't tell me how much better off we were 4 years ago because we weren't.
And also, he said two-thirds of the people polled are not paying close attention. That is not entirely true. They showed the numbers after he said that. There was a third of them that was paying very close attention, a third of them that was paying some attention, and then a third that was paying hardly any attention. So, really, two-thirds are paying attention. Don't make it seem like people are checked out. And he's right. There are people out there. We have stuff to do. We got lives.
Absolutely.
I got bills to pay, taxes to pay. And you know, like, but don't be disingenuous.
Don't dismiss this as unimportant. Cause I don't buy it. Just don't buy it. Yeah. It is newsworthy.
Very newsworthy.
It is newsworthy. All right. News, speaking of, is coming up next. And then when we return, this card game debuted 52 years ago, and it is bigger than ever.
And?
I've never played it. All the details coming up. Stay with us. Don't forget to text the word SUN via the app before noon today. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. Opening statements will begin this morning at the federal firearms trial against Hunter Biden. A jury of 12, along with four alternates, have now been seated. Former federal prosecutor Tom Dupree says a lot of dirty laundry will be aired at the trial.
That testimony from his closest family and friends is going to be used against him as a basis for putting him in prison. So regardless of how this comes out, even if he's acquitted, this is not going to be a pleasant experience, to say the least.
In California, the so-called Corral Fire is about 75% contained. Cecile Juliet with Cal Fire says it's really early for fire season to begin.
To have a fire that was more than 14,000 acres in the beginning of June is a bit eye-opening.
Thursday marks 80 years of the D-Day invasion on the beaches of Normandy. 101-year-old Bob Gibson is a vet who made the trek back.
101, without an acre of pain in my body. How is that possible? Somebody up there likes me.
CBS News Brief, I'm Matt Piper.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The warden at the troubled state prison in Waupun is resigning. Randall Hepp is stepping down after a number of problems, such as a chronic lack of guards leading to lockdowns. Four inmates have died since last June, and there's an ongoing federal investigation. Several other prison employees have already resigned or been fired. Opinions among Wisconsin leaders about Donald Trump's 34 felony convictions are split along party lines. Republican Congressman Ryan Stile is downplaying the news.
Disappointing, to say the least. That said, I think at the end of the day, this conviction will be overturned by the appeals court in the appeals process.
Stile speaking with WISN-TV's Upfront. Democrat Gwen Moore says she trusted the justice process to come to the right conclusion. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. The one thing you cannot say about Willem Dafoe is that he is predictable when it comes to choosing his roles. The 68-year-old native Wisconsinite continues to explore offbeat parts by playing an afterlife detective in Tim Burton's Beetlejuice Beetlejuice. Dafoe plays a deceased actor who in real life portrayed a hard-nosed cop. So naturally, in the afterlife, he heads up a heavenly crimes unit as Wolf Jackson. Beetlejuice Beetlejuice hits theaters September 6th. Jerry Seinfeld cannot stay out of the news lately, but at least he admits he's not a real man. What? You heard it right. Seinfeld says he misses the days of the 60s when there was a hierarchy that started with manly men at the top like JFK, Muhammad Ali, and Sean Connery, who, by the way, openly admitted to slapping multiple women. Nice comp, Jer. Seinfeld says he is not a fan of toxic masculinity and admits he never made it to real man status because he became a comedian. Yeah, that's why. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clouds and some patchy fog in the overnight with mid-60s and light winds. On Tuesday, we'll have a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Some of those will bring some heavy rainfall Tuesday and into Tuesday night. Our high temperatures warming to the lower 80s. Right now, it's 67.
Earl Ingram.
Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
I've been marching since I was 17. I'm 74. And women need to get out. You need to vote because you don't want to go back to 1950 where you weren't allowed a credit card, where you weren't allowed to purchase a car or a home. These are things that are at stake.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
Day 2 of Biden's Top 100. We'll be talking about how Joe Biden has stood shoulder to shoulder with organized labor more than any other president in modern American history.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Lost all expression. Said if you're gonna play the game, boy, you gotta learn to play it right. You got to know when to hold up. Know when to fold up.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. You can always join us. Call or text directly from the Civic Media app. So go to wherever you get your apps, download the Civic Media app, and you can call and text directly to all of the shows across all of our stations. And it's important you do that right now because our statewide text to win contest is going on this hour until noon.
Yes.
You have until noon to text the word sun, S-U-N, text the word sun via the Civic Media app. And then you're going to be in the drawing for some great prizes every hour. We have one winner for the Wisconsin Dells Summer Prize Pack. Every day, one winner will pick up a pair of Milwaukee Brewers club-level seats. And then there will be two grand prize winners who get to pick where they want to have their summer staycation, including Fort Atkinson, Lake Geneva, and Door County. So text the word sun, S-U-N. You have until noon, for that is the word for this hour. Todd Alba will have the new word on his program.
Pool boy.
Well, that was his test run word. We'll see. I don't think he's going to use that today. I don't know.
No.
I don't know. I don't know what the word is. All right. I've never played this game. I have a mutant gene or something. I don't know what's wrong with me. This family favorite card game has been around for 52 years. Almost one set of Uno is sold in the U.S. every second.
Yeah.
Uno.
Does not surprise me.
That's almost 60 Uno decks every minute.
Yeah.
Is sold. The curator at the Strong National Museum of Play, Michelle Parnett Dwyer, says Uno is great because kids can play against adults without being overmatched, and adults can play it together and still have fun. It's simple and easy to understand, and playing around goes pretty quickly.
Yeah, it's a really fun game. We have three Uno decks at home.
Are they all the same?
Two of them are the same. One is mine. One is Bridget's, and then we have a one that we bought, I think during the pandemic, that's like a Marvel edition that's got like Marvel characters on there, and you can do special things with that deck. It's a really fun game. Now, I take issue with the notion that you can, like, adults can play each other and it's a good time. I have seen some of the biggest fights erupt. Folks, when I say erupt, I mean Mount St. Helens erupt over an Uno game. Because there are not a lot of rules. There are very simple rules on a basic deck of Uno cards.
Okay.
And the biggest one is, if you don't say Uno when you have one card, because that's the whole conceit of it. It's like you're going through, you're trying to match cards.
And you have to match them, and then you get to discard it?
You can discard them by matching the number or the color. If you can have, there's pick four cards. So like if you and I are playing and I put a pick four down, you have to get four cards out of the deck, which makes you four cards behind me. And if Calvin's playing, but the biggest rule is if you have one card left and you don't say Uno, someone can bust you. And I think the rule is you have to take another card.
Okay.
So you're immediately out of the running for Uno. The amount of people I've seen say, I said it when they didn't say it. Mount St. Helens eruption.
Wow.
Fights.
Calvin, do you have much Uno experience?
I'm pretty familiar. I'm not going to say I dislike it, but I mean, it's fine. It's not a super...
I don't even understand what you're talking about right now.
Like, I just think there's better out-of-the-box card games. Like, I think Phase 10 is a better card game than Uno.
Think you're wrong.
Are you familiar with
this? Never heard of it, so therefore I don't care.
Oh, well, then he's just going to dismiss it out of hand.
Yes.
Brian Kelly is a thumbs up on Phase 10.
I don't care what Brian Kelly has to say. He's out there and I'm in here.
Any Uno heads...
Calvin, turn your own mic down. Cut your own mic off.
Any Uno heads want to chime in on this? 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter.
Robert from McFarland.
Yes.
I flipped a table during an Uno game. Needless to say, the game ended. I don't think Uno should be, I mean, yes, it's a fun game. You can, if everyone's having a good time, then yes, you can have a good time. But, oh, mother glory.
Maybe this is why I don't play these games.
Oh, I would love to play Uno with you.
I can't imagine being that emotionally invested in something like this that I would blow up.
I don't think that you would. I think you'd be fine. If anything, I think you'd be like, this is dumb. But then once you got that
stupid game,
once you're two cards away and you're looking to get that last card,
your heart starts beating.
Exactly. And then you're, and I don't know if you saw that in the article, there's a new version that's sold out, which I really want, called Show No Mercy, which has got like draw 10 cards in there. And it's kind of like cutthroat Uno. I'm all about it, baby.
For the real hardcore Uno heads.
Yeah.
No Mercy.
I'll take on Calvin.
There are more than 600 editions of Uno available, but the core rules are pretty much the same. Players draw a handful of cards and then take turns trying to get rid of them. The first player to get rid of all their cards wins. You can put down a card if it matches either the color or number of the previous card at the top of the pile. Or to switch things up, players can put down an action card, requiring the next player to draw more cards or skip a turn.
Yep.
So does an action card just turn up in your hand as you're getting your cards?
So so every time you'll get dealt cards, and then your action cards can be in the original dealing.
Okay.
I'm blanking right now. You gotta keep taking. So here's the deal. So let's say we're playing. This is gonna be very interesting for the people listening right now. Let's say that I throw down a red 8, and you have neither a red nor an 8 card. You have to keep taking cards until you have a red or 8. And most of the time, it's going to be like 2, 3. Sometimes it's 20.
Wow.
Yeah. And you just end up having a pile of cards, but then you have a bunch of action cards. So then you have to start playing strategically because you want to make sure the people you're playing against are, you know,
well, getting stacked up with cards.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So if you have some draw 4s, you throw those draw 4s down to muck up the works. It's fun.
So there's some strategy involved.
Yeah. We got a text from the WAUK, or 608 says, Uno is a big meh. Well, you know what?
Hey, but that's fine.
Everyone's entitled to their wrong opinions. someone listening to WMDX 608, my grandson's got me on saying Uno. I've yet to beat them. It's on my list.
Go, Graham.
We believe in you.
You go, Graham.
We believe in you.
Mark from Prairie du Sac is on the line. Good morning, Mark. What are your feelings
Good
about?
Morning, yeah.
What about your feelings about Uno?
I loved Uno when I was a kid. It's been a long time since I played it, but I mean back. I grew up north, and there was not a lot to do growing up in the country in the middle of winter when it was 20 below zero, other than play, you know, card games with your. With your brothers, or
right.
You know, play board games like Parcheesi, or that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But another game that's fun, and it's not a card game, but it's fun even as an adult, is Jenga.
Oh yeah.
It takes a little bit of skill to do that. But there was I can remember this is a few years ago back now, but getting together with friends at deer season playing the game rather than a poker party, we had a Jenga party and having fun doing that.
Mark, is Jenga where you have to pull the pieces out to make the tower fall or something?
You pull the pieces out and avoid making the tower fall,
yes.
Because if you make the tower fall, you lose. But I mean that, Uno is a fun game. And like you said, I mean, you know, players older and younger can actually play it and enjoy it. And good luck to that grandpa, because it's easy to do to forget to say the Uno when you... When you win.
When you're down to one. Thank you so much, Mark. Really appreciate it. Always appreciate you calling and listening. Brian from Maguanago, we're talking about Uno. Thank you for joining us. Brian, are you there?
Brian, are you there?
That was weird.
I think we lost Brian.
I was looking at you as he was describing Jenga. I'm like, oh my God, please tell me you've heard of Jenga.
Of course I've heard of Jenga.
Okay, well,
I've heard of it, but I've never played it.
What games do you play? Do you play games?
I think my mother locked me in a closet and didn't let me play with anyone as a child. I don't know. I was just never drawn to those kinds of games. And I read a lot, which was really exciting. I was a very excited child.
You know what,
though?
I am so jealous of that. I wish I would have read more as a kid. I didn't read a lot when I was a kid.
See, and that's, I read a lot.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Sad, lonely child. Never played games. Andrew from Maine, I played a lot of Uno when I was growing up, and cribbage and pinochle and solitaire.
Pinochle is one of those games, too, that just sounds like, oh, we shot some pinochle. I'm like, that just sounds like what two old guys do. And I love it. I'm not making fun of anyone who plays pinochle.
Calvin, do you play pinochle?
All I know about pinochle is that it's a game.
Well, there it is, everybody. Resident young person again. Calvin. And Sherry just says, I love games. I love that.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Oh, we should totally play some Uno.
You want to have an Uno fest?
Yeah, that would be awesome. We could,
like, have an Uno fest for charity or something?
That'd be cool. We could totally do this. Civic Media get on board with that. We'll just, you know, we'll rent out a room and it's like
no
five...
No holds barred Uno.
It's yes, exactly. I just like the like $5 to get in. All money goes to like a charity. I love this idea.
There's potential there.
There's great ideas there.
There's potential there. Uno was created in 1971 by Merle Robbins, a barber from Ohio. He and his wife only printed 5,000 copies of the game and then traveled around the country selling them at campgrounds, which is brilliant.
Yeah. Yes.
That's brilliant.
Hey, just like knocking on someone's camera, like, hey, Eric, are your kids bored to death now?
Yeah. Are they driving you crazy? Here, take this.
Yeah.
$4. What is Uno? What is it? A set of cards cost?
I think they're like $6. So back then, they were probably like a dollar. Yeah. That's hilarious. Because some people have ideas on the text line of what you did do when you played. Because as we all know, you grew up, your father was a
mortician,
mm-hmm. So you grew up in a mortuary or below.
We lived upstairs.
Upstairs. Yeah. Jane's family played with dead bodies, not games. I was like, all right, Robin from McFarland, that's...
No, Robert, but you know what we did do? We would, every Christmas Eve, we put a play on in the main chapel.
Yeah.
Because it had a lot of room. And then sometimes you need a crowd scene, so I'm kidding.
Oh my God.
Roland Mrs. Schmitsky. Just put her in the background. It's a crowd scene.
Give her the good hat.
No, we didn't do that. Talked about it, though. Yeah. We did do the plays. We absolutely did do the plays. All right. Enough of Uno.
Enough of Uno.
Enough Uno for now.
Okay.
When we return, we are talking about Wisconsin Bike Week. Jake Newborn, when the Wisconsin Bike Federation is going to join us to talk about all the things going on this week, so stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Know when to walk away and know when to run. You never count your money. When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. Every gambler knows that the secret to surviving is knowing what to throw away, knowing what to keep. 'Cause every hand's a winner and every hand's a loser, and the best that you can hope for is to die in your sleep. And when he finished speaking, he turned back toward the window, crushed out a cigarette, faded off to sleep. And somewhere in the darkness, the gambler, he broke even. But in his final words, I found an ace that I could keep. You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. You got to know when to hold up,
when to hold up,
know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when
you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough for counting. When the dealing's done, you got to know.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Earl Ingram.
Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
I've been marching since I was 17. I'm 74. And women need to get out. You need to vote because you don't want to go back to 1950 where you weren't allowed a credit card, where you weren't allowed to purchase a car or a home. These are things that are at stake.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Melissa was my neighbor in L.A. Her husband, Jim, would break open these $100 bottles of wine they just have sitting around.
A friend of mine and I went to his friend's house. Her dad put like a $500 bottle of scotch down on the table and was like, hey, I got this for you guys. Like, go ahead. We're 18. We can't appreciate this. I've never had an alcoholic beverage in my life until my 21st birthday.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, and Calvin B. on the board. You can always join us. You can call and text directly from the Civic Media app. Join the show. Let us know what you're thinking about. And also, you have a couple of minutes left to text the word SUN, S-U-N. Text the word SUN via the Civic Media app. And that is going to get you entered into our Scotty Summer Contest, where one winner every hour gets a Wisconsin Dells Summer Prize Package. One winner every day gets a pair of Milwaukee Brewers Club level seats. And two grand prize winners get to pick where they want to have their summer staycation, either Fort Atkinson, Lake Geneva, Door County. So text the word SUN, S-U-N. You have until noon to get that in. Very excited to be joined by our next guest. It is Bike Week in Wisconsin. Jake Newborn is with the Wisconsin Bike Federation. Good morning, Jake. How you doing? Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Yeah, thanks for having me. Really excited to be here.
So what are some of the things that are going on with Wisconsin Bike Week? What kind of wonderful bike things are you doing?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff, and I really want to highlight it's all around the state. There is stuff in Milwaukee, Eau Claire, Sheboygan, Madison, Milwaukee. So, you know, check out our website, wisconsinbikefed.org, for the whole listing, because there's just no way
to
we
go
can cover
everything.
All of those today. A couple highlights, though. On Thursday morning, we'll be doing a bike ride with the mayor of Milwaukee, Mayor Cavalier Johnson, out at Tiefenthaler Park, highlighting some of the infrastructure changes that he's been pushing for there. I know in Madison, there is a couple of really great longstanding commuter stations, like getting a bike to the Bratz and Brat Cakes and stuff like that. So really great opportunities there.
We will include the link to your website in our show notes after the show is over. Greg does a really good job on getting links in there to that if you want to find out more about what is going on in your town or city for Wisconsin Bike Week, which runs through June 9th. It says on your website, too, that this is bikes mean business. Let's talk about the economic impact of people who ride their bike to and from work.
Yeah, bicycling is big business, especially in Wisconsin. According to the last economic impact study, the Outdoor Industry Association, cycling contributes $1.4 billion to our state and provides more than 13,000 jobs.
Wow.
Even more. Yeah, people are surprised when they hear it, because it's actually even more than deer hunting does. And so cycling is big in this state for sure. Let me see. What's our other thing? It's not just an urban downtown bicycling in Milwaukee. Wisconsin DOT has a funding cycle for bike and ped infrastructure around the state. And according to the last bipartisan infrastructure law, there was an expanded amount of money, particularly for rural communities. So communities under 5,000 residents in the state, there was $10 million available to give to those for bike trails and things like that, We had over $50 million applied for.
Wow.
So it isn't even meeting the need, the demand for all these local communities. So it's again, it's from the smallest rural towns to the biggest communities in the state that demand is there, that people want to be biking more and have better infrastructure.
That's incredible.
I would have never have guessed.
Not to that extent. Yeah, not to that extent, that economic impact greater than deer hunting. And I mean, I certainly know there's a great big bike race that usually happens in Shorewood, Jake,
the Tour of America's Dairyland does travel around to 11 communities around the state. That's a few in Milwaukee, West Dallas, Beloit. I think they might be up in Sheboygan, Grafton this year. That moves around a little bit. And I've got a stat for you there too. That cycling event, which 11 days, 75,000 spectators, 1,000 riders, brings over $2.4 million.
Wow.
My goodness.
Well, again, you got people coming from out of town. They got to stay someplace, right? They have to go to restaurants and they might buy some tchotchkes and whatnot. Buy a bicycle.
And those aren't even just people from the Midwest. You know, these are people from around the world come and race here. So it's a great chance to show off, you know, what we got going on here in Wisconsin in our beautiful state.
Are these all for cash awards, these races, or are some of them just a point of pride? And I'm assuming there's lots of just fun rides, too, where not everything is a competition.
Yeah, so with the Tour of America's Dairyland is a competitive race series. There are cash awards and stuff for that. But there's so many rides, whether they're just a family fun ride or you saw the UPATH ride we had over this past weekend. We've got a ride to Pride going on with the Bike Fed in Milwaukee on Sunday to the parade. So, yeah, there's really an opportunity, kind of any sort of level of cycling that you are comfortable with. There's an opportunity to get out and ride, not just this week, but really all year round here.
Jake Newborn is our guest. He's with the Wisconsin Bike Federation, and we're talking about Bike Week in Wisconsin, which runs through June 9th. Again, we will get the link to the Wisconsin Bike Federation in our show notes. Give Greg about a half an hour or so to get those up, and then you can click on the link directly from there. When did you start biking, Jake? Was it a kid thing?
Yeah, I mean, it was a kid thing, but you know what? What really got me more into it was actually being hit by a car. Biking to college, and that bike was destroyed. Luckily, I was, you know, okay in the end, but I got a new bike after that and met a lot of great people at the bike shop and started it really kind of propelled me. I kind of call it my, like, you know, origin story into what really got me to care about it and be, you know, interested in how we can make it better and safer and encourage more people.
That's weird. I was in an accident when I was 12 years old. I was hit by a city bus here in Waukesha on paper route. It didn't lead me to, I mean, I liked bikes after that, but it didn't lead me down the path you did, though. I'm jealous, Jake. But, very, very jealous.
But he does have a definite hatred now for buses.
Oh, the buses. Mass transit.
No.
No, I love the bus system.
No, buses
we need
great.
More buses.
And they're so much more accommodating now to people who bike, which is great. It's all part of the same thing.
Yeah, we love the bus system. Bike Fed staff actually many years ago was integral in getting the MCTS to put the bike racks on the buses and getting some grants to install that. And they've been great to keep that going. And it's a huge thing because sometimes, you know, you do have a flat tire or it's raining or just the bus doesn't go where you need to go. And so bikes and buses are a great kind of last mile connection opportunity.
Absolutely. Jake Newborn with the Wisconsin Bike Federation, thank you so very much for joining us to talk about Bike Week here in Wisconsin. Have a wonderful day and a safe ride.
Yep. Thank you. You all too.
Stay close. News is coming up next. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and our engineers. Without you, nothing work. Thank you, everyone, for calling and for texting and most of all for listening. It means absolutely everything. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Stay right here. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On the next show, entrepreneur Eric Brundrich joins us. His brand, Life Love Incorporated, just had a ribbon cutting at his bricks and mortar location.
Then Douglas Darby from Turning the Page will share his story of addiction and recovery. Don't miss it.
Earl Ingram.
Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
I've been marching since I was 17. I'm 74. And women need to get out. You need to vote because you don't want to go back to 1950 where you weren't allowed a credit card, where you weren't allowed to buy, purchase a car or a home. These are things that are at stake.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the civic media network. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.